From the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Farming Country. I'm your host, Kimberly Izar. It's Saturday, February 14th. Well, shepherd's pie and panettone are just some of the tasty dishes at the first annual Try It Out On Us potluck. Today, Rosie Starr visits the Damascus Manor Community Center for a culinary adventure.
I'm from Brazil, so I brought a Brazilian dish. It's a butter cookie with guava. It's the first time I try, so I hope everyone likes it.
Plus, New York's DEC wants to make public lands more accessible. Radio Catskill's Julia Kim spoke with park stewards and disability advocates to learn more.
I use a power chair and it has like 4 inches of clearance, and the traction isn't very good. So unless it's a smooth trail, then I'm not able to go on it.
All of that in Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report, but first, news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. The federal government is once again in partial shutdown. Funding for the Department of Homeland Security expired at midnight after lawmakers failed to reach an agreement on the way federal immigration agents conduct business. NPR's Tamara Keith reports.
Democrats say they need significant changes to the tactics being used by immigration agents, like removing masks and requiring judicial warrants, and they want those changes cemented in law. President Trump was asked about negotiations while preparing to board Marine One. He said he has to protect law enforcement.
Look, I know what they want. I know what they can live with. The Democrats have gone crazy. They're radical left lunatics.
A White House official not authorized to speak on the record tells NPR ultimately there will have to be a compromise, though the administration is working to limit any interruptions from the partial government shutdown. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
Congress is in recess and won't return to Washington for a week. Air travel, meanwhile, could face problems because the Transportation Security Administration is included in DHS funding. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says Europe and the United States belong together. Speaking at the Munich Security Conference, Rubio echoed Trump administration warnings about Western decline while also stressing the longstanding ties between the U.S. and Europe.
Together, our predecessors recognized that decline was a choice, and it was a choice they refused to make. This is what we did together once before, and this is what President Trump and the United States want to do again now, together with you.
Rubio warned about mass migration and what he called the erosion of the rules-based order, arguing that institutions like the United Nations need major reform. He also said European nations should engage with China, but need to be cautious of compromising their national interests. The Trump administration filed a lawsuit against Harvard University, accusing it of failing to comply with a federal investigation. NPR's Alyssa Nadworny reports.
The new complaint filed by lawyers from the U.S. Justice Department in a federal court in Boston seeks documents related to the Ivy League's admissions process. Those documents, the government argues, will help demonstrate if Harvard is complying with a 2023 decision by the U.S. Supreme Court that ruled race-conscious college admissions programs unconstitutional. In the complaint, lawyers said that the United States was not accusing Harvard of any discriminatory conduct and was not seeking monetary damages or the cancellation of federal funding. Harvard did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Alyssa Nadworny, NPR News.
This is NPR News in Washington.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Kimberly Izar. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has purchased the former Pep Boys warehouse in Chester, New York. That's according to a statement an ICE spokesperson emailed to Radio Catskill. The statement said that, quote, there will be very well-structured detention facilities meeting our regular detention standards, end quote. Thousands of people have opposed the facility over the past month, with bipartisan support from local, county, and federal lawmakers opposing the plans. Orange County legislator Genesis Ramos said local officials had no idea about the sale.
We aren't getting any information. And this is extremely problematic, right? Because if the federal government, if DHS is going to come and put a center, this detention facility in our backyard with no communication, no line of sight, it makes it really hard for government leaders, elected officials to know the right course of action at any given time.
No deed under ICE or DHS for the property has been filed with the Orange County clerk as of Friday afternoon. The news comes just days after the public learned ICE has been operating out of a new Windsor office for more than 4 months in Orange County. Ramos says stopping the sale is highly unlikely, but she's hopeful that other legal issues with the building, such as the warehouse's location on a FEMA floodplain, could stop the project from moving forward.
Other counties and states across the country have been able to stop these warehouses from popping up, and my hope is that we can do the same here in Orange County.
This is Radio Catskill.
Support for NPR comes from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org. And Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange, Sullivan, and Rockland, a publicly supported philanthropic institution. Information at CFOSRNY.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farming Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. Wishing you a happy Valentine's Day. Regardless of whether or not you celebrate, I hope that today is, you know, filled with lots of love and abundance, whether you're with loved ones or just with your community. I hope it's a special one. Well, here in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania, winter is the perfect season, in my opinion, to spend time with folks indoors. I know I myself have been enjoying lots of yummy meals with loved ones inside. A few weeks ago, the Damascus Manor Community Center hosted a special food edition of their monthly potluck. Farming Country's Rosie Starr visited the winter potluck in Damascus and has more.
On a really cold, snowy day in January, my email inbox offered me a colorful message announcing the monthly potluck taking place at the Damascus Manor Community Center in Wayne County. I was curious about this community gathering and wrote back asking if I could attend and bring along my friendly microphone recorder to share my visit with our listeners. This evening's potluck food theme is Try It Out on Us. What I brought along is my offering of chocolate coconut macaroons. Let's hear what other community members brought to share.
Did you bring food?
I did.
Okay, just tell me your name. Tell me what you brought to share.
Bernadette Miller, and my mom and I together made a shepherd's pie from scratch. Yeah, so we're excited about it. We hope everybody enjoys it.
Is it a family recipe?
Not really. I've never made one from scratch before. I've kind of thrown like leftovers together to kind of put one, but I've never made one from scratch. But mom has, so she was helping me.
Sounds so, like it's a good recipe for a cold evening.
It is, yes, definitely a winter delight.
My name is Rayhan, and I brought a Turkish venison stew.
Is that a traditional recipe?
It is. It's different than what I normally make. It has more of a tomato base and different vegetables.
Hi. It sounds like something good for a nice cold evening.
That's why I made it. Today was the perfect day for that one.
How about you? Did you bring some food?
Well, I helped my daughter, Bernadette, make the shepherd's pie tonight that we brought at the a recipe from my family.
That sounds good. And how about you?
I brought a tweaked coffee fudge recipe.
Hello. How are
what
you?
Is your name?
Hetty. Hetty, H-E-D-Y. Like Hetty Lamar.
Is this a traditional food that you brought?
I've made it a few times, so I have to confess it's not something I haven't ever made. But it's never been here, and I would very seriously doubt that anybody here has ever had this.
Okay, well, it's good to share surprises.
And I hope you like it.
It's not that bad.
On a positive note, Hetty.
Positive, positive.
Can I show you my 3D-printed things?
I'm Laura.
Hi, can you tell us what you brought to share?
Sure, I'm from Brazil, so I brought a Brazilian dish. It's a butter cookie with guava. It's the first time I try, so I hope everyone likes it.
Yeah, what can you share some of the ingredients?
It has gluten, it has butter, it has a little egg, flour, sugar, and with a nice piece of guava in the middle. It's very good with coffee or with tea.
Sounds good for this kind of weather.
So cold outside today.
Hello.
Could you tell me your name?
Paula.
Hi, Paula. What did you bring to share with us?
I brought Portuguese tuna and chickpea salad. Am I being recorded? Okay, cool. Anyway, so I brought that because I never made it. My husband is not into tuna, and he absolutely hates chickpeas, which are both in this recipe. So I figured if they were asking us to make something we don't normally make, I was going to try it. So, yeah.
I'm very excited for that dish. Going to try it.
Did you bring some food to share?
Yes, I did.
Tell me your name and what you brought to share.
I brought the panettone from Italy. My name is Alex Tuccheroni. So, you the vowel in the end of the name means I know what to bring.
And I know how to make panettone. I make it on for Christmas morning. I have a fabulous bread book that I take out every year and make this recipe. It's fabulous. I can't wait to taste yours just to compare.
It's coming. It's in the other room, but I'm bringing it in. I was working. How come we're getting interviewed?
Do you listen to the radio?
When I could hear in the old days, yes.
Ooh, look at that panettone. Did you bring something to share?
Oh, yes. Linda Dexter. And I've made them before, but I brought wings. But the sauces are all sauces. I went online and found Purdue. The chicken happens to be Purdue. And I found that Purdue had some recipes. So I have a spicy recipe. I have a Asian, and I also have a BBQ, barbecue.
Tell me your name.
Oh, David Landis.
Hello, David.
Hi, Rosie. How are you?
I'm really excited about what you brought. What kind of food did you bring?
I brought a za'atar roasted crispy tofu with a lemony tahini dressing over greens.
That sounds magnificent.
I've never made it before. I don't know what it tastes like. And we're trying it out on us.
It will be appreciated. Yeah. Tofu is one of those foods that you can do a lot with.
That is true. I personally am not a tofu lover, but I've found a way to make it good and how to make it crispy. I don't really like the texture of tofu, but now it's crispy. We do something with arrowroot or cornstarch, and you season that stuff and you spray oil on it and you put it in your air fryer and you fry it for about 20 minutes and it has a nice crispy outside.
Thank you, first of all, for being so friendly and having me come over here with my microphone to share with the audience.
You're always welcome.
In my inbox was this colorful email about tonight's potluck, and I went online. Your DMCC website is very inviting, and I like the mission statement. Tell me how the mission statement goes with what's happening tonight.
Well, it's pretty self-explanatory. It took us probably 6 or 7 meetings for 7 of us to do this, and we really worked hard on it, and we tried to make sure it was good for everybody. You know, we want to preserve the multicultural heritage of our area, protect our natural resources, support the health and well-being of the community, which we try to do. And through service, collaboration, and shared values, we strive to create a resilient environment for generations to come. That's all that you can ask for. You know, this is about community and about building community. and sharing good experiences.
Like tonight, sharing food on a cold winter's
sharing
night.
Sharing food, exactly. And that everybody's welcome. That was the main thing that I wanted to make sure about, that we worded it so that it was clear that everybody is welcome.
What have you been up to?
And I noticed there's a lot of good events all year long. There's a lot on your website that describes how you go about your mission statements, the recycling, some of the classes that you offered.
We're doing a CPR class. We're looking for businesses to come in and promote their businesses and talk to us about things. We had a chainsaw class. We had a guy talking about trees. We have canning classes. So, yeah, we're looking for different events. I want to eat. Can I eat now?
Yes. Thank you.
Wow. Did you make these little oranges?
Hi, Rosie.
Hi. While you're over here, tell me your name and tell me what you brought.
Oh, I'm Irene, and I made the stew, which is a spiced chickpeas with coconut milk, ginger, and turmeric, and collard greens that were frozen, my garden collard greens, and I have to see how it goes over.
As the Damascus Manor Community Center members finished their potluck, executive members David Landis and Linda Dexter called the monthly meeting to order with a salute to the American flag. Then, Wayne County community member Jeff Dexter presented his artistic wooden American flag that tastefully included the DMCC logo. Old minutes were approved, new members welcomed, and new business included an invitation to post announcements on the DMCC Facebook page. There is a request for volunteers to help out on their recycling program. The location for the Damascus County Community Center is 60 Conklin Hill Road in Wayne County, Pennsylvania. For Radio Catskill and Farm and Country, this is Rosie Starr.
Thanks to Rosie for letting us tag along. A quick announcement, the Damascus Manor Community Center's next potluck is actually this Tuesday, February 17th. You can find more information on their website at pa-dmcc.org. Up next, you know what time it is? This week's Star Talk Report from Keith Hubbard.
For Farm and Country, I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. Use the moon to find Saturn on Thursday this week. The three-day-old waxing crescent moon will be almost 4 degrees off Saturn's upper right side. While the moon will be visible at sunset, Saturn will not become visible until about 45 minutes after the sun sets. To find the pair, look about 20 degrees above the western horizon. They will be best viewed for 1 hour. After that, they will still be visible, but will be low on the horizon. After Thursday, the moon will drift higher in the sky and away from Saturn. Saturn, on the other hand, will appear to be stationary. Saturn will be slowly drifting toward the sun, and by early March, it will not be seen in the evening sky. Saturn is known for its extensive and beautiful ring system that can be viewed with a moderately powered telescope, but Saturn's rings are currently oriented edge-on to Earth. The rings will appear as a thin band across the middle of the planet. Saturn's rings are indeed thin. They have a thickness that is the length of a football field. If Saturn were the size of Earth, its rings would be as thick as a three-story building. They are composed of billions of chunks of water ice or ice-covered rocks. Most of these chunks range in size from a grain of sand to a large car, though some are as large as mountains. The moon will be just off the upper right side of Saturn in the western sky 45 minutes after sunset on Thursday. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future Star Talk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard reminding you to keep looking up.
Thanks to Keith for that report. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, the DEC wants to make public lands more accessible. Stay with us.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
This is Callison Stratton, host of Liberation Station, a show that highlights the work of female and femme presenting performers. Liberation Station airs Saturday nights at 7 o'clock, only on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Farm and Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. Well, the New York's Department of Environmental Conservation, or DEC, wants to make public lands more accessible. They're looking to establish a policy to expand access for people with disabilities to enjoy recreational and outdoor activities on DEC lands. Radio Catskill's Julia Kim spoke with park stewards and disability advocates to learn more.
When it comes to conversations surrounding accessibility, increasing the accessibility of the outdoors is not always considered. Through the advocacy of disabled stakeholders, however, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation developed a policy draft last month that aims to standardize a framework for evaluating which OPDMDs can be used on their lands and where. OPDMDs are defined as mobility devices that are not classified under wheelchairs. The draft classifies OPDMDs, which range from a scooter to a golf cart, into seven categories and outlines where these classes are approved for use, are eligible for future review, are completely incompatible, or can be considered case by case. A 2011 amendment to the Americans with Disabilities Act stated that organizations must establish a policy for the use of OPDMDs.
We really felt strong that we needed to update our motorized access for people with disabilities policy, and we wanted to really daylight and make it more efficient and less of a burden for folks to get access to our state lands using other powered drone mobility devices. So this was a needed policy.
That was McCree Burnham, who works as the ADA coordinator for the Division of Lands and Forests. He said that the DEC had been doing this on a case-by-case basis starting in 2012 until now. But it was discussions surrounding new amendments to the Adirondack State Land Management Plan last year on increasing accessibility that sparked the need for an actual policy from the DEC on OPDMDs. The combined Adirondack Park Agency and DEC Accessibility Advisory Committee has been an advising body on this issue, consisting of disability justice advocates who work with and provide comment to the department on accessibility issues like this policy. Jason Thurston, chairman of the committee and outreach coordinator for John Dillon Park, said wheelchairs are not always suitable for the terrain, and OPDMDs help mitigate those barriers.
The real issue is that, you know, wheelchairs are allowed on any hiking trail or any place that people can walk, but most wheelchairs will not go there. Like I use a power chair and it has like 4 inches of clearance and the traction isn't very good. So unless it's a smooth trail, then I'm not able to go on it. And somebody with a manual chair isn't really going to be able to go on it.
What has remained at the heart of discussions since the Adirondack State Land Management Plan is how to strike a balance between supporting the use of OPDMDs for the DEC's outdoor recreational opportunities while continuing to protect lands from possible degradation, especially the Forest Preserve, which is protected under the Forever Wild Clause in the state constitution.
This is Catherine Carroll, Albany, New York. Thank you for taking my comment. I just want to express appreciation and support for just a policy overall, moving away from a purely individualized reasonable modification system to an overall framework that is available to the public is incredibly useful to people that need the time and the information in order to plan outings and visits to state lands.
At the public meeting for the policy last Wednesday, February 4th, Catherine Carroll, an accessibility committee member and the disability and program coordinator for the Association of Aging in New York, provided this comment. However, other environmental organizations, including Friends of the Forest Preserve, Adirondack Mountain Club, and Conservation at the Adirondack Council, emphasized outlining specific regulations to ensure the protection of state lands and monitoring of the ecological impacts of the policy once it is established at the meeting. Jeff Centerman, the executive director of the environmental nonprofit Catskill Center, said the organization plans to submit written comment in support of this policy with the understanding that the land itself and conservation remains a priority.
You know, we are supportive of increasing accessibility to the forest preserve and to all state lands, but specifically in the Catskills, we just want to ensure that we understand that accessibility is a nuanced issue on the forest preserve. There are appropriate sites for full accessibility. There are appropriate sites where accessibility will be made as great as possible, but sometimes full accessibility would simply not be possible. We want to ensure that the policy that guides the other power-driven mobility devices really doesn't sort of open a back door to further vehicle accessibility.
Lingering questions for people like Thurston himself is the fact that the policy would still require people with mobility disabilities to apply for a permit, even for sites that have already been approved for OPDMD use, as the department has been doing. Burnham said the department wants to ensure efficiency as they also work on establishing an online self-issuing permit system for users. Statewide ADA Accessibility Coordinator Leah Atkins added,
"But just as a first note, is we currently are operating under a permit system, and it's a benefit to the user and able to have something on their person because they're doing something different than the rest of the public. They might be using an e-bike where only manual bikes have been permitted in the past, and they're doing that due to disability. So just like that disability hang tag, it signals to say, this is why I'm doing it. And so you're not being kind of, you know, looked sideways by your fellow recreationist or by our rangers that need to know, okay, who's permitted, and we have a clear method, you know, to make sure that it's easy for people to be able to get that access."
The policy draft comes amid other efforts by the DEC to increase accessibility, including launching an interactive map highlighting accessible recreation sites in 2024 and working with $5 million in funding towards making improvements for accessibility. Governor Kathy Hochul in her 2026 State of the State Address also outlined a commitment to, quote, expanding access to state parks for all New Yorkers. However, the accessibility of DEC trails, parks, and campgrounds like Camp Santinoni has remained an ongoing fight for people with mobility disabilities, Thurston said. And he looks to fully accessible sites like John Dillon Park as a model for the future.
Yeah, it was not long after I attempted to go on trails and realized that they were not accessible that I found John Dillon Park. That was back in 2015, and I went for a day trip. And there's one trail that they have that's 2.5 miles long that goes out to another body of water where there's another two lean-tos. So it's a 5-mile round trip, and it goes really through the forest, and it's the most remote experience I've had since my accident. And it's one of the very few places that has an accessible trail that does go that far into the wilderness. So that's something that's very important, is to be able to have access to that. But also, like I said, to be able to find trails that are almost accessible and just need a little bit of upgrade, or maybe even a partial trail. You know, there might be a trailhead to a mountain that's, you know, a good mile long of straight terrain that wouldn't take much to upgrade. So working with them to identify those places and really just getting out and getting the word out to get more people to explore places and report back, I think will make a big difference.
The policy is open for public comment until March 9th, and a final policy is likely to be released sometime this summer, Burnham said. I'm Julie Kim for Radio Catskill.
Thanks so much to Julia for that report. A few upcoming events from our community calendar. Tomorrow is February 15th, and it's also the return of the annual King of the Ice. We spoke with John Van Etten at the Sullivan County Conservation Club a few weeks ago here on Farm and Country. And tomorrow they present their premier annual ice fishing contest at White Lake. The contest runs from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Trout, pickerel, and perch are a few of the eligible species. If you are joining folks at King of the Ice tomorrow, keep an eye out. There may or may not be some Radio Catskill representatives. And so if you see one of us, don't be a stranger. Please do say hi. And on Friday, February 20th, the White Sulphur Springs United Methodist Church, and the fire department holds a fish fry at the firehouse on February 20th from 4 to 7 p.m. You can find more information on all of these events and more events at wjffradio.org. That's all for this week's show. This show was produced by the Radio Catskill